Well, welcome along to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart in the hosting chair once again to preview the action on ITV this week. And I've got a fine looking panel, as always, on the Postcast this week. I've got David Jennings over in Ireland, Matt Gardner, who sat at home, and Ed Nicholson joining us once again from Unibet. Now, it's probably worth mentioning, Ed, and starting with you, is that last week, despite losing Warwick, we had a full house from you on the Postcast. You had all four winners at Newbury. The nap landed. Hopefully we can do the same again.
Will lightning strike again? Probably not. No, it was a good day. Yeah, I mean, two of them were short priced. Most people could have chosen them, but I was particularly pleased with Iberica Lord winning as well. Noting that was Nicky's, he thought that was his best handicapped horse, although he didn't think it was the best handicapped horse in the race, and we all know who that was. But yeah, good day last week. Hopefully we can continue.
Yeah, we'll get to DJ as well in a minute, who also really liked Iberico Lord last week and went and did the business. But let's get straight into the previews then. We've got seven races to come your way. Four from Ascot, one from Wincanton, and two from Haydock, hoping that goes ahead on Saturday. We start off then at Ascot with the 150, which is the 3 mile Reynoldstown Novices Chase. It's a Grade 2 contest, and at the time of recording, Unibet have Apple Away as their 5-4 favourite. Kilbeg King is 11-4. Brave Kingdom 3-1, Henry's Friend 13-2, and the King of Rye Hope, the outside of the 5, at 20-1. David Jennings, I'll start with you to preview this race. First of all, how are you? I mean, a good weekend last weekend for you.
Yeah, rare one. Great. Looking forward to the weekend. I suppose you're getting into the territory now where, you know, the real good horses, it's their last chance, or certainly second last chance, that kind of do their audition for Cheltenham if they are going to Cheltenham. So it's going to be interesting. I always thought this what we always known as the Reynoldstown. You're probably going back to O'Phelan's Boy in 2014 for the last proper top-notch kind of edition of it. O'Phelan's Boy went on to win the Brown Advisory, but as it is now, beat Many Clouds. And I can remember that race very clearly, because do you remember Gevry Chambaton was in it, and we all thought he could be the next big thing for the pipe. So recent winners, Oscar Lee, Does He Know, Remastered, Copperhead. Hasn't exactly been a vintage couple of years for the race. I think Apple Away is better than these. I know she was put in her place by Grey Dawning, but, you know, Grey Dawning is a proper, you know, stare. You could see Grey Dawning running the Gold Cup someday. Apple Away tried to do her thing out in front, and she still was miles clear of Broadway Boy, the change of man, as well. But I don't think that's that bad a form at all. Prior to that, Leicester, she was fine going right-handed. I think if she gets into a rhythm early here, I think she's just a little cut above these. I know Kilbeg King has ran really well in the feet in the last couple of occasions. I know Maddie Playle thinks Brave Kingdom could win a Welsh National next season, and Henry's Friend is going for three in a row. But to me, Apple Away is probably the one proper Grade One mare in the race, and I think she'll get the job done. I'll be disappointed if Apple Away is beaten. So a boring start for me, Sam. The favourites in the first race are going to preview.
Yeah, Apple Away, second to Grey Dawning last time. But price-wise himself, Tom Siegel, very keen on Grey Dawning for the Brown Advisory Novices Chase. So it definitely looks like it could be strong form. Matt Gardner, who do you like in the opener for Ascot?
I ain't got a problem with Apple Away at all. I think Brave Kingdom might have a little bit more potential. As DJ mentioned, in theory, this is a sort of Brown Advisory trial. But if it's going to have an impact on anything, it's probably going to be the National Hunt Chase. There's three, I think, in that are running here. Brave Kingdom, the one time he's tried Grady Company, he got beat, but that was his second start as an obvious hurdler, and he was still pretty kind of raw that day. The Newbury handicap he won last time, the time of that race was pretty good. It sort of suggested he was already like a high 140s horse. If he can get up that extra little step into like a low to mid 150s horse, you know, he's going to see him go pretty close here. Like I say, I do quite like Apple Away as well, but likely prices, I'd probably side with Brave Kingdom.
Okay, Brave Kingdom for Matt then. Ed Nicholson, who do you like in this race?
Well, first of all, big up to Reynoldstown. Only one of only five horses to win back-to-back Grand Nationals. I wasn't there in those years, 35 or 36, but I do go a little bit further back than Dave Jennings's memories of the Reynoldstown. I remember one man winning it in 1994. Unbelievable. I was there that day. It was a Wednesday. And it used to be on the Wednesday of this meeting. It's always great to go over to Ascot on that day. And I'm really sad to say that this race has been has become a terrible, well, not a terrible race. It's not as good as it used to be. You have to go back to 2018 to find a horse that's rated over 149 that has even run in the race. And that was Black Courtin, who won it around about 155. And the ratings of the winners and the ratings of the horse have got lower and lower. And this is the worst race of the Reynoldstown that we've got in living memory. The highest rating horse is 142.
All right, Ed. All right.
And
is getting it in the neck today.
Well,
it's the worst race I've ever seen ever in the history of horse racing, says Ed Nicholson.
It's the worst Reynoldstown, that's for sure. And the reason why I mention that is because I find it difficult to choose a winner. I mean, Apple Away, you say, is the, you know, a grade one mare. She still has to prove a bit to be a grade one mare, I would have thought. She's 6-4 favourite, and she's been drifting with us since we opened the book. Brave Kingdom, as you say, Paul Nichols does well at Ascot. He's actually had 13 runners in this race this century, but only three winners. So he doesn't always run his best horses here, although Sylvia Interconte ran here. But I thought Brave Kingdom was a horse you could take on as well. He's only rated 138. So by elimination, I've come to Kilbeg King. I mean, Kilbeg King ran really well last time out behind next year's King George winner. And I think if you put the second, you know, Hermes Allen, who obviously fatally injured, if you put him here. So I think Kilbeg King's a decent bet around about 3-1. But okay. As I say, that it's not as good a Reynoldstown as it used to be. I don't know if I said that, Dave, but it's not as good as it used to be.
Well, there we go. So it's not a great Reynoldstown. And look, we've got three different selections in the race as well, the three at the top of the market. So, yeah, good luck finding the winner of that one. Let's move on then to a race that's just as hard to find the winner of. The 225 at Ascot is the Thoroughbred Industry Employee Awards Handicap Hurdle, just shy of 2.5 miles here. A class two event, and Rare Edition currently topping the market 11-2 of Unibet. Monviel is 13-2. Rambo T and Bad 7-1. Highland Irish Hill 8-1, and double figures about the rest of the field. And Ed Nicholson, plenty of offers on in this race.
Yes, we've got Made Back second or third as cash in this race, and also an extra place available at present as well, with the number of runners to click. So plenty of options, and you would understand why when you see it 6-1 the field. It's a really competitive race, a very difficult one, as you'd expect, with plenty of horses in with a chance. I think Nicky's only runner of the Saturdays here, Highland. I think that's one of the very few on the ITV cards anyway. And that would have a decent chance at around about 10-1, but it's really tricky. My eye was drawn to Bad only because the way he's been running throughout his career in the UK suggests he probably needs a little bit further than 2 miles. I watched a video of his last run at Ascot previous to coming on here, and he ran like a horse that needs 2.5, outpaced, ran on, had been leading, and actually finished higher than most that had gone with the early pace. I think that's a really well-run race. Looking at the sectionals and talking to a few timing experts, I know they thought that Bad ran a particularly good race, given where the most of the runners in the top four or five came from. So I'll give Bad one more chance. He seems to be a horse that everyone tips up for every handicap he ever runs in, ever since the Fred Winter. But he runs well. He may be one of these horses that just hasn't got a trip and keeps coming second, third, fourth. Could well be the case. But rating of 1-2-2, he was all the rage for the Fred Winter off 1-2-6, I think, last year. So, I mean, still potentially well handicapped, and interestingly wear cheeks pieces for the first time. I think that might bring a bit of improvement from him as well. He's had wind surgery since his last run as well, but again, he's 6-7, 8-1. It's a difficult race, it really is. So it'll just be a sporting selection, but Bad hopefully to finally get his head in front.
Fair sporting selection, Bad Fred Nicholson, put up by the anti-postman here at the Racing Post, Robbie Wilders, at bigger prices early in the week. Matt, I'll come for your selection, the 225.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough race. It's competitive, but I thought, like, for numbers more than anything else, I thought it was really hard to make a sort of solid case for anything, to be honest. The one that I think has got most mileage in his mark is Irish Hill. He won this off a £3 high mark last year, and he was banging form at the time. That was him completing the hat-trick. And when he did that, you sort of thought he might kick on to make an impact in kind of better-graded races. And he never really did it, but he's looked back in better form the last twice. They stuck some blinkers on. Probably went a bit hard at Kempton last time, but that sort of suggested he was coming back to his best. Yeah, I think he's got some scope from that mark. So if he is back to the sort of form he was in this time last year, then, yeah, I think he'll go well.
Okay, Irish Hill ran 8-1 with Unibet currently in. David Jennings, a horse that you liked early in the week, has been well supported.
Yeah, I put up Monville as my charity betting up in the ante earlier on this week at 12-1. He's been well backed. I can certainly see it. I think ground, track and trip are ideal. Now, he's obviously had a bit of a disappointing season to date, but you go back to that run at Newton Abbott over fences on his chasing debut, it doesn't look that bad at all now. Like, he actually didn't jump that well, and I'd say if Paul O'Brien could have another go, he would. JPR1 got first run on him, and he just didn't jump the last two particularly well, but he got within two lengths of JPR1, and JPR1 was only giving him £2, so that looks a strong run given what JPR1 has gone on to do over fences. Then it was just a complete tale of woe at Ascot next time. It was desperate altogether. But now the problem there is, I think he had an irregular heartbeat afterwards and he lost a shoe, so they've given him plenty of time to recover. That was the 24th November, and I'd say they're trying to keep his novice status for next season. But he does go well fresh. He's won on the back of a 251-day absence, and I just think maybe Harry Derham said to himself, let's have a go at one nice handicap hurdle. We know he likes Ascot. 2 mile 3 is perfect trip-wise for him. And, you know, he's no problem on the ground. Like, he won on heavy ground at Sandown in 2022. Like, if you go on heavy ground at Sandown, you'll cope with conditions here. He should be fine. And the one thing I will say about Monville, I think a race like this in a big field will suit him. Mark of 120. Like, he was fifth in the Betfair hurdle in 2023 off 130. He's £2 lower now in not as strong a race. I think he's a big player. If he's okay and he's been trained for the race, I think Monville is a big player.
Okay, Monville on the 225 for David Jennings.
There's one here at a big price that I think is worth looking at. Soaring Glory, who's been running well of late, although, you know, been fifth a couple of times, got some good back form, particularly well handicapped on that back form. And I thought he ran quite well last time out. Around about 20-1, maybe he's one to consider with the extra place.
Okay, yeah, Soaring Glory, yeah, definitely one who will be winning a big handicap hurdle this season. Yeah, big price currently. Let's move on then to the 3 o'clock, which is a handicap chase over 3 miles, a Class 1 event at the time of the recording. Victorino is the 130 favourite with Unibet 3/3, 5, 4/1. Iron Bridge is double entered, but 5/1 for this race. Shamblou, 13/2. Revels Hill, 7/1. Do Your Job is 9/1. Larry is 11/1 and 16/1. Bar these. Go on then, David Jennings, who wins this?
Oh, I don't like myself for this, but I thought off a mark of 143 back up to 3 miles, I thought Shamblou was probably worth chance, and look, there's so many horses running on Saturday that are just, you know, so frustrating and enigmas, and he's one of them. Like, 3 pulled-ups in a row, but then you go back to Ascot just before Christmas, 2 days before Christmas, and I think we saw a kind of a rejuvenated Shamblou that day at Ascot behind Triple Trade. Like, he did stay on and he hit the line hard, and that's something when horses lose their form, it's one thing I always look for. It's fine travelling to a certain point, but you have to finish your race. He finished his race that day, and he's been given lots of time to recover, 56 days. You know, the fact that he's coming back to Ascot, and this is a big pot. This is a 100 grand handicap. There's 56 grand to the winner. I'd say Dan has had a big circle around this race for quite a while, and I think he's the best handicapped horse in the race. Like, 3/5, we know isn't well handicapped, but he can win. He definitely can win 3/5, because he's rock solid and he could go really well. But I think off mark 143, I think Shamblou is the best handicapped horse in the race.
Yeah, Ed, I'm going to come to you next, actually, because we had a phone call yesterday and we discussed Shamblou in this race and how much potential this horse had after that unfortunate run in the Charlie Hall a few years back. But this horse certainly could be well handicapped off this mark.
Yeah, 2021, when he fell at the last 20 lengths clear in the Charlie Hall. I mean, who would have thought he'd be running here off this handicap mark of 143 back then? But it hasn't gone right for Shamblou, as Dave has alluded to. But that last run following 3 pulled-up was a significant improvement over a distance which would have been too short for him. He's only been put up a pound. I've got the feeling he's a good ground horse rather than a soft ground winter horse. I think that'll make a difference. That was with cheek pieces last time, so, and that was the first time he wore cheek pieces, so that might have been why he improved. You never know. The cheek pieces are left on today. I agree with DJ. I think he's the best handicapped horse in the race. He's got back form obviously because of that, and I've just got a feeling the better ground will suit. If the rain came down, I would be less confident. I do think he's a good ground, good soft ground horse. And there was a race I was looking at in the future. We sponsor a card at at Kempton on the 16th of March, and there's a big handicap there that I thought he might go for, but I know the stage.
Nice plug, Ed. Nice plug. Very beautifully weaved in there.
Yeah, anyway. not my first rodeo. And I thought, but he's got another horse for that skeleton, so maybe they'll look at that. But yeah, Chamblou was the one for me. I don't think Iron Bridge will run. I think it's his second preference. Mm. As long as Haydock goes ahead, I don't think 3 miles around Ascot on good to soft ground will suit him. Will suit him as much as 3.5 in heavy ground at Haydock. And the only one to talk about that we haven't spoken about for me is Victorino, who I thought ran a good race last time. I know he finished seventh, but it was on ground that was a bit too slow for him. He was wide all the way, which is the second time he's gone wide of the pack. Maybe it's a thing for him. Although reading the comments from Venetia Williams, it wasn't the plan when he won at Ascot. But that was a drop-in grade. And I remember listening to either Ruby or AP saying he doesn't like horses that drop in distance going back to Cheltenham because they just go a little bit quicker. And sometimes these horses that go back from 3 to 2.5 or 2.5 to 2, they just don't have the pace to lie up. And although everyone thinks Cheltenham's a staying course, it's actually a course where you need to go high up in the order. It's very difficult to come from way back. So I thought he ran well in seventh. And if it was softer ground, I'd give Victorino a chance as well. My selection would be Chamblou based upon, I think, the ground's going to be good to soft rather than good to soft to soft.
Okay, two votes for Chamblou, but if it got soft, Ed Nicholson would be having a little saver on Victorino by the sound of things. I know one man who does like Victorino, and that'll be Matt.
Yeah, I'm going to swerve being tempted in by Chamblou, but I just think Victorino is like dead solid here. Take the point about the ground, but I just think he's too well handicapped to ignore still. Like, he's only six. He's had a lot of racing. He ran in France a lot, but he's only had four goes for Venetia Williams. Really progressive in the first three of them. Twice he won over this course and distance. Cheltenham, I mean, occasionally you do get a better ground around the outside, but that day just wasn't one of them. He lost so much ground going as wide as he did. The trip was wrong as well. You know, the way he won the time before that, if you'd have said he's going up £4 for that, you'd bite the handicapper's hand off. You know, you really would. So, ground might not be 100% ideal, but I just think he's really solid in this.
Okay,
can I ask you a question, Matt? How much would Venetia's form worry you? Some of our horses, like did you see Pink Legend the other day at Exeter? Like, the horse literally couldn't move for some reason. Now, she can do that, and she is a bit moody. But like, I think one of our last 21 have won. And like, even the other day, Hill of Tara Plumpton the other day was sent off, you know, 4 to 6 or 8 to 11. And Hill of Tara was well beaten when falling at the last. And then we'll talk about that when Long Press, like in the next race. That's, I'm worried now, I have to say.
She's been in fine form all season, hasn't she? Like, she's been a trainer who the whole of the jump season, that's front season, she has been in fine form. But she has hit a bit of a flat spot. DJ's right there, Matt.
Yeah, I think in years gone by, she's been a bit streaky, hasn't she? And yeah, for me, I've always found it a little bit hard to get a handle on her runners. Like, they sort of sometimes can hit form almost out of nowhere, and then they're just, like, red hot.
I didn't think she had a great January. I think she only had 4 winners in January as well. Like, she was brilliant November, December, magic. Like, I think she had 18 or 17 winners in those 2 months. And, like, she was well level stakes profit. But I think between January and February, so you're talking the guts of 6 to 7 weeks now, she's only had 5 winners, which is, that worries me, because I think she's a brilliant trainer, like, but that worries me a little bit.
Oh, we'll wait and see. I mean, we're going to move on to a race now, the 3:36, so we're going to discuss one of her biggest runners in her stable, the biggest runner in the stable, the Ascot Chase, the Grade 1 Chase there at Ascot 3:36, the 2-mile-5 race, and Long Press is the current 8-11 favourite of Unibet, 2-1 about Pick Dorby, Hoist and Yours 5-1, and Sail Away is the outside of the 4 at 40-1. So I'd actually like to start with DJ on this one here, because there's an element of me that thinks that you're going to be taking on Long Press.
Oh, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been probably 20 years since my last confession. I think at 6-1, you've just got the chance of High Senior here. Look, this will obviously cue abuse, and fair enough, but just, I suppose, when you delve into it a little bit, okay, I hope Long Press wins. I really do, because I think Long Press, to me, is a player in the Gold Cup, and I think he's hugely talented. And a bit like Ahoy Senior, this is a complete contradiction, but we must remember that Long Press is going the wrong way around as well. And you can remember what he did in the King George when he would have been a good second to Braveman's game, but he kept jumping out to his left. So he's going the wrong way for starters. Venetia's stable form is a worry, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it is a worry. Like, five winners since Christmas, or five winners since the 1st of January, and Long Press has been one of those. Look, he's a brilliant horse. I hope he wins. But at 4 to 6 or 8 to 11 with Unibet, I think in this type of race, you've got to take him on. Then you've got Pictori, who is the solid one. You know what you're going to get from Pictori. He's rated 162. He's going to run somewhere in the region of that. And if either Long Press or a High Senior are not a concert pitch or not 100%, he's going to be the one that's going to pick up the pieces. But then you come to a High Senior who, like Long Press, probably going the wrong way around. But there's just a part of me and that thinks that looking at the race, the Cotswold Chase, two things. First of all, he still retains his enthusiasm for the game. And that was the one thing that worried me. I thought he threw the toys out of the pram in the Coral Gold Cup or Old Hennessy. I kind of thought he was gone at the game. I said, I will never even mention that horse again. Never mind back him or tip him. He was gone because he ran so poorly at Weatherby the time before. But he travelled with such exuberance and such, you know, really was looking for the next fence. And he enjoyed himself, I thought, at Cheltenham. And I see what they're doing here with him. They're saying to themselves, OK, the Ryanair is still on the new course of Cheltenham, which is a track he obviously likes because I thought he was loving it in the Gold Cup last year. We can't win a Gold Cup. We can't beat Gallop and the Shams, fast or slow, and Shishkin. We can't do it. He's not good enough to beat those horses. But hold on a second. He could actually be good enough to win a Ryanair. So let's chance him here, see how he gets on, and then that will tell us where we stand. Like, you have to remember, he was going beautifully in the Gold Cup last year and really enjoying himself. Then he traded really short and running against Shishkin in the Aintree Bowl last season when he was miles clear of Aplu Tower and Conflated and all good horses. He is a good horse. He just has completely lost his way. And, you know, you're looking through his form and you say, how much of a disadvantage is it to him going the wrong way around? And you go through, the last time he ran on a right-handed track was in the King George, where obviously he didn't run well at Kempton, behind who won it that year. Was it Brave Man's Game won the King George that year? But the time before, he was second the Brave Man's Game in the Cotto Star at Kempton as well. And while he did, you know, didn't enjoy going right-handed, like, he still was a solid enough second the Brave Man's Game. He's probably worth another chance. It's mainly due to the opposition, and I've rambled on for too long, but I think Ahoy Senior at 6-1 in what is basically a three-horse race, I think he's worth chancing. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm going to go in the same order as I did for the last race. So I'm actually going to come to Ed now because I mentioned the phone call earlier we had. We mentioned two horses, one of which was Sham Blue and the other which was Ahoy Senior. And we both kind of believe that this horse could run a big race in a Ryanair. Currently around 16-1 with Unibet. Would the 6-1 be appealing for you in this, Ed?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I actually think he's going to show improved form for going over a shorter distance. If he was mine, and he has, you know, he has one race, he's won Grade One entry by making all in a novice hurdle. If he was mine, I would just go out from the front over 2.5, even 2, and try to use his speed over jumping. And it goes back to the one man instance. One man was a 3-miler. He went to Cheltenham Festival 3 times. His favourite 3 times, for the one for the Sun Alliance, 2 for Gold Cups. And then they reverted back to 2 miles and won the Champion Chase. That was only the first time he'd run over 2 miles in 6 years since he made his novice hurdle debut. And because they too agreed, I mean, you probably guys won't remember one man, but he won 2 King Georges, one at Sandown, and he just couldn't get up the hill. He just couldn't stay. So there was no point in running him in the Gold Cups. They went back to the Champion Chase. And it's the same with this horse. This horse, don't think he'll win a Gold Cup. I don't think he'll, I mean, they say he's a 3-miler, but I don't think he'll win the Gold Cup over 3.25. But he could win a Ryanair. I mean, he could easily win a Ryanair. And I won't go on about it because Dave Jennings has said exactly what I was going to say. I think I'm going to back him for the Ryanair. I haven't done, but before this race. Because I think if he wins this, he'll be half the odds. Looking at the Ryanair makeup, he'd be one of the best horses in the race. And he'd have a chance. He's a spring horse. He doesn't run badly at Cheltenham. And I think he's got a great chance. And obviously, because of that, he's going to be my selection here in the bet for Ascot Chase. I totally understand why you want to be against Long Press. Long Press got a good record when fresh. DJ said he doesn't like going this way. He has won a couple of times out of 5 going this way, including the Grade One by 21 lengths. But I understand what he means. He does jump out to his left. But the trainer form, I'm a big follower of trainer form, and it's been mentioned on this podcast before, but Phoenicia Williams horses are just not as in form as they were in November, December. And that would be a real concern going for an 8-11 shot. Hoisin Yor works out a little bit less ability than on press, but better than Pick Dorney and Miles Bettel and Sail Away. So yeah, I thought 6-1 was a really big price for the horse. So Hoisin Yor, although he's a kind of horse that you love, isn't he? But you always, he's a bit like Shamblou. We've all been talking about Shamblou. He's a horse that will keep you going. A cliff horse, isn't he? If he might not do anything, he's too pulled up in a fourth, but you've got to, I mean, the value, you've got to be on Hoisin Yor, I think, at the price.
Well, it's not a Racing Post Unibet podcast without mentioning Cliff Horse. He's becoming the new Mr. Coffee, potentially. Matt, I'll come to you next on this one. Lompress, look, we know this horse could potentially be one of the best of the British for the Gold Cup, but it's all potential. We want to see the horse do it again and do this well, don't we?
Yeah, I like DJ mentioned earlier, I think he's a serious Gold Cup horse. By potential Gold Cup horse. Like, I'd sooner be backing him for that than here. In some ways, I'd rather they'd have gone straight to Cheltenham, to be honest. Like, that give him a bit more time to get over Lingfield. That was over a year off, wasn't it? And, I mean, coming back, he was getting a bit of weight from Protectorat, but to do that after over a year off, Protectorat's like a dead solid, like, high 160s, low 170s horse, pretty much time after time, whenever he runs. And I think Lompress actually did really well to beat him that day. So he's sort of like nines, I think, for a Gold Cup. Like, I'd much sooner back in there. I totally get why they're trying a different trick with a Hoisin Yor. I've been a fan of that horse for a long time. The main problem I've got with it is that, you know, dropping back in trip, he's going to be going a slightly, you know, a little bit quicker. Like, he's the sort of horse that, left to his own devices, he'd fall over in his own feet in an empty field. You know what I mean? Like, I get that sort of vibe from him. And that's my issue with him, is his jumping, coming back down in trip. I'm not in a rush to back Lompress at odds on, but I can see why you want to get after him. But like I said, I'd fancy him for the Gold Cup more than this weekend.
Okay, I think the makeup of the race will be Hoisin Yor will lead, won't he? I mean, you're getting an easy lead, won't he? Or have I mislooked at the race?
No, I don't think he will. I think they'll be wise to that. I think Harry Cobden is going to be up there, and Charlie, they're both going to be pestering him to make sure he doesn't get an easy lead. But I think they'll let Derek go on after a couple of fences, I'd say.
A Hoisin Yor then, potentially one for the Ryanair, 16-1 currently with Unibet, 6-1, around 5-6-1 for Saturday for the Ascot Chase. Worth taking a look at. So that's Ascot covered. Plenty of opinions there. We've got Wincanton Haydock coming right up.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, David Jennings, Matt Gardner and Ed Nicholson spinning you through the action on ITV this weekend. We head to Wincanton now for one race there, which is the Kingwell Hurdle at 2:05. This is over 1 mile, 7 furlongs, and Rubo is the 2-1 favourite there. Colonel Mustard, 5-2. Nemean Lion, 7-2. Goshen is 6-1. Oh my word, this horse couldn't do it. Guard Your Dreams, 13-2. Matt, I'm going to come to you here. He couldn't, could he, Goshen? He really couldn't. I mean, he absolutely loves this race. He hasn't done much all season, but if he is going to win a race this season, it probably will be this.
Yeah, he's, you know, on ability, he's got every chance, hasn't he? It's just, nowadays, it's what mood he's in as much as anything else, isn't it? You know, like, which Goshen's going to turn up? Who knows? I definitely don't. It's sort of an interesting race, because Rubo is one of those like horses where he's not quite got the form to match the bit of hype about him, I don't think. Like, his record's pretty good, but he's won a lot of races that have been a little bit thin if you just scratch the surface a little bit. I thought him trying to give weight to Colonel Mustard might be a stiff ask. Colonel Mustard's run over fences the last twice, and he's just not as good as a chaser than he is a hurdler. He tried it a while ago, and then he went back over hurdles and was pretty much instantly back to his best. He was second in a Scottish champion hurdle off a high-ish mark. He finished third in a champion hurdle at Punchestown, well beaten, but it was a you know, high 140s, 150 run. That sort of performance is probably going to be enough to see him run a cracker here, particularly if Rubo doesn't kind of progress again, if Goshen throws in the stinker that we all know he's capable of. I think there's question marks against most of them, but I'd side with Colonel Mustard, I think, out of a lot.
Yeah, I quite like Colonel Mustard in this race as well, I really do. It's worth mentioning with Goshen that the regular rider of this horse would have been Jamie Moore, who we've heard today has announced his retirement due to injury. Jamie, an excellent rider. He's going to definitely be missed in the weighing room, I'm sure, but wishing him all the best with his retirement. DJ, I'm going to come to you. You won't tip Goshen. You're not like that. You wouldn't do it.
No, I wouldn't. I don't fancy any of them. I think this is I don't even know how you describe this race. I there's no thesaurus to describe this race, I think. Look, Ruba, he doesn't even have Harry Coblin this time. He's got Larkin Williams. You know, this is not his ground. I'm not quite sure if he's even good enough to give weight away to the likes of Colonel Mustard and the Mean Line. Colonel Mustard just doesn't win races, like, you know, it's just just doesn't win races. Namian Line obviously has a squeak, but, you know, ran over 2.5 miles last time in the Lanzarote. Probably wants, but for it has a chance, like Goshen. Like, put it this way, if you did want to have a bet in the race and you want to stick a 5 or a 10 on something, I'd stick it on Goshen because he's won the race twice. He's mad. And it might just be that Wincanton, bit of soft ground, might just be his thing. Could you have any confidence in him whatsoever? Absolutely not. Don't fancy any of them. If you were to have a fiver that you want to put on something at 2:05 in Wincanton, I would probably stick it on Goshen, but he probably won't win.
Oh, my word. Okay, yeah, interesting. So, Race DJ will probably be leaving alone, but maybe a small little bit of money on Goshen there. Ed, I'll come to you. I mean, DJ describing this as a bit of a minefield, and you're probably going to think the same.
Yeah, I do. It is a difficult race, even though there's just 5 runners. But as we all know, Wincanton favours the speedy flat horse spreads. I mean, this race has been won by the likes of Cribensis, Alderbrook, Catch It in the past, all going on to run exceptionally well at Cheltenham. And my eye was drawn to Nemean Lights. Nemean Lion. He's the improver, I think. He ran well when beaten, arguably one of his best races, even though he finished 5th in the Unibet Greatwood, which, as always, is working out extremely well. Second last time in the Lanzarote. I noticed he was entered over 3 miles as well this weekend, but they've decided to go over 2 miles. He's entered in both the Stayers and the Unibet Champion Hurdle at Cheltenham. And we went down to Kerry Lee Stables to do a piece when Nemean Lion was going to run in the Unibet Greatwood. And even then, they were talking about hopefully he'll progress into a Champion Hurdle horse. He's 100-1, so he's not that horse yet, by a long stretch of imagination. But I just thought the track would suit. Dropping down a distance, I can see him being quite aggressively ridden. And I still think there's a bit of improvement to come from him, which means his rating, I know it's not a handicap, but he's rated 145, the top rated horse 149. It's a very difficult race, as DJ has alluded to. But I just thought I'd go for Nemean Lion at the price. Thought it was worth a chance.
Okay, Nemean Lion, Fred Nicholson then in the King Well Hurdle. But yeah, it's a difficult race. Nonetheless, let's move over to Haydock then. We've got 2 races there to cover. And the 2:40 is the next race that we look at, the Rendlesham Hurdle, a Grade 2, just over 3 miles. And Botox Has and Butch are joint 9-4 favourites currently with Unibet. Red Risk is 5-2. Sounds Russian. Last seen being brought down in the Gold Cup, but comes back here over hurdles 5-1. Wakul is 16-1. And Martha Bray is currently 20-1. Ed, you can kick things off here. Who wins this?
Once again, thought it was a difficult race. Can make a case for quite a few of these. Just very simply, I was going to take a chance with Sounds Russian. It's going on a bit now, 9. Obviously going back from fences to hurdles. But you can imagine Ruth Jefferson, who horses have come back to form recently, will have this one ready to go, being a 9-year-old. Unless they're going this step for a chase later on, I can't imagine they would do. I thought Sounds Russian's got form on heavy ground, got form when seen after a number of days off the track, and is one of the higher rated horses in the race. I think rated 150 at the moment over hurdles, and Botox Has is 152. So on form, the way on the profile of the horse, the way that he's been campaigned over the years,
I just thought it's worth going, given that Ruth Jefferson's horses are coming back into form and is available around about 5-1. But it, again, once again, not a confidence selection. Plenty of horses in with a chance.
Yeah, certainly is a difficult race. DJ, I was hoping that Botox Has this season would make his way into a Stayers Hurdle kind of horse. It hasn't really worked out, but kind of race like this, if we do get racing at Haydock on heavy ground, he is going to be tough to beat, isn't he?
Yeah, he has a chance. This is, I fancy the other one that he beat at Wetherby earlier on in the season. I fancy Red Risk. He's one of my strongest fancies of the day. look, Sounds Rushing is interesting and could be anything in the race after, you know, running in the Gold Cup. But I just thought with Red Risk, unlike Botox Has since they met at Wetherby, he's had a really light campaign. He only ran once in the long walk at Ascot before Christmas. And, you know, Botox Has, I thought, probably has had a few hard races since then. Red Risk, I think, was maybe a couple of lengths behind him that day, but I thought he was kept very wide that day by Briony Frost and didn't jump as well as he can. I thought the time before at Wetherby in the what was the old West Yorkshire Hurdle, I thought Red Risk kind of came to win his race and then Botox Has kind of outstayed him just before the line. I think this has probably been in Paul Nicholls' head for quite a while, this race. He's £2 better off with Botox Has for that defeat. And the fact that he comes here fresher, I think, is a big bonus for Red Risk. I think the conditions should be perfect for him. I think he liked the track. And I just like that fresh angle. I like the fact that we haven't seen too much of him. So, yeah, Red Risk for me in the 240. But I can certainly see where you're coming from with Botox Has.
Okay, Red Risk and Briony Frost around 5-2 with Unibet for the Rendlesham Hurdle. And Matt Gardner, who are you going to be with in the 240?
Yeah, starting out with this race, I quite like the look of Red Risk as well. I had a slight stamina question for him. Kind of, it's going to take a lot of getting bottomless ground, sort of 3 miles extended slightly around Haydock. Like, I wasn't 100% sure that he was that strong a stayer for that sort of test. I mean, I like Butch, but there's no two ways around it. Like, 9-4 is skinny, stepping up in grade. But he's kind of the one horse that arrives here with like an upwardly mobile profile. He's gonna have to improve again stepping up in grade, but you know, his form's not that far off what it normally takes to win this sort of race. You know, 9-4 isn't all that tempting, but in a, you know, if you're progressive in a race where the rest aren't, then you know, you've got a bit more going for you. So yeah, I'd side with Butch.
Okay, Butch for Matt then. Let's move on to the final race that we cover on ITV. It's the 3:15, which is the Grand National Trial Handicap Chase. It's a premier handicap over 3 mile, 4.5 furlongs. And this looks like Iron Bridge's favoured race. It's 9-2 for this race here. Credo's 5-1. My Silver Lining is also 5-1. I Will Do It and Famous Bridge 6-1. Snipe is 7-1. 8-1 about Yeah Man. And Double Figures about the rest. And Ed Nicholson, hoping for some extra places here.
Extra place available here in the Grand National Trial. Top race, always love this race, and hopefully Haydock will go ahead and this race will be on ITV. Horse here that I really fancy is Iron Bridge. His favourite, so I'm not alone, obviously, but he's got the profile of a really good staying handicap chaser. I tipped him up for the Welsh National at a big price, anti-post, and although he finished 34 lengths behind the winner, he still finished second. 34 lengths behind the winner. I don't think a second in the Welsh National has ever been dropped in the handicap ratings, but it was such a one-horse race, so I can understand. But the handicap has dropped in £2 for that. So he's been dropped £2 for coming second in the Welsh National, which I thought was quite funny. But I still, I think he's capable of winning off a much higher mark. I know the horse quite well. I've spoken to John Joe Jr. and John Joe about him when he ran at Chepstow, and I think they all know that he needs heavy ground, well, soft ground. I think John Joannell Jr. said to me he would never run ever again when there was no soft in the description, and the deeper the better. And it won't get much deeper than it will at Haydock on Saturday, trust me. So I spoke to somebody just a moment ago who lives 4 miles away, and they're expecting quite a lot of rain tonight, which is Thursday, and then a little bit on Friday. So hopefully the meeting goes ahead. But if it is bottomless, Iron Bridge has won around Haydock, albeit in a two-runner race. But he has trouble jumping out of faster ground, I think, if that's the way to put it. On softer ground, he doesn't get too confused, and he goes a little bit slower into his fences. I just think he's still improving to come for this eight-year-old. So, yeah, it's going to be my nap of the ITV races, and I think Iron Bridge is going to win this.
Okay, giving away early there. I think we lost David Jennings there, heading off probably to find out what the ground was like at Haydock. I'm not sure whether he's taking a trip. What is the ground like over at Haydock, DJ?
Yeah, just round the clerk there. He said it's going to be very, very heavy. He was just giving me go and stick descriptions there, but we don't understand the go and stick in Ireland, so it was double dutch to me. But yeah, it's going to be extremely, extremely hard work. And the two that I like is Credo, who handles any sort of swimming pool whatsoever. I thought off 1-3-2 at a track that Credo does go well, and I thought that had an each way chance at 7-1. Like, it's 11 runners, you can probably discount 3 or 4 of them. And I thought Credo was rock solid each way. The one that deserves to win one of these, I think, is Yeah Man. Yeah Man has cheek piece on for the first time for Gavin Cromwell. Just like, just was obviously just beaten last time at Ascot. Looked like it was going to get there. The time before at Ascot looked like it might win again against Victorino. And I would say he's still unexposed as a stayer. At around about 8-1. I think if you back up Yeah Man and Credo each way. But it sounds of things, Iron Bridge is going to be winning, according to Ed, who's made a great case for him. But I think if you back Yeah Man or Credo each way, I think the worst you're going to do is come back level. I think certainly one, if not two of them, will get placed.
Yeah, I actually considered Yeah Man as a potential nap this week. It's not my nap, but considered that horse to be a nap for this weekend. And Matt, you can finish us off with a selection in the 3:15.
Yeah, I think the case for Iron Bridge with, you know, seeking the ground is really solid. I actually like the owner's other one, Famous Bridge. He's a horse who I really fancied him for that Great Yorkshire Chase at Donny last time. And I think he clouted the third, and that just took him out of it. And the ground was a bit firmer than he'd probably want. Prior to that, he'd won twice at Haydock, November and December, on bottomless ground, absolutely relishing it. The Nicky Richards yard was red hot back then. They're not quite as good as they were now, as were then, but they're still going pretty well. It's a quick turnaround from Donny, obviously, but if he's all right and back on ground that he seems to love, then I still think he's got quite a bit of mileage in his mark. So, Famous Bridge for me.
Okay, so one selection for Iron Bridge, one selection for Famous Bridge, and then a few mentions there. But I think, yeah, man, I think DJ's made a really solid case there, but I think this horse will certainly be winning a big handicap chase, and this could be it on Saturday, hoping we get racing at Haydock. So there are a few things I need to mention on this show. The Racing Post Members Club now offering race replays on the app. It's been an absolute brilliant thing to have on the app. It's helped me out massively since it's been on there. But you can check out replays on the app. You need to sign up to Members Club. Here are all the details on how you can get 50% off your first 3 months. Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. You've still got Sam Hart, David Jennings, Matt Gardner and Ed Nicholson spinning you through the weekend action. We move on to the any other selections part of the show. Is there anything away from the ITV cameras that our panel fancy? And we've got DJ on there. He's got to have something from Ireland. DJ, who do you like?
Yeah, we're racing in Goran Park on Saturday. Talk about Haydock being bottomless. I think Goran Park is going to be worse than it was on Thiesta's day. It just hasn't stopped raining here all bloody week. Anyway, in the first race, the 1:42, it's going to be very interesting to see whether Lark in the morning, this big Boodle Springer, is going to run. He's been declared again. He was supposed to run last Saturday. He didn't run. He's running again this Saturday. Will he run? Who knows? But he's been declared. He's got a mark of 120, and he is, I think, biggest 5-1 now for the Boodles. A monster gamble on Lark in the morning in the Boodles. So it's going to be interesting to see if he runs in the 1:42. Do they want him to win? Do they not want him to win? Do they want him to go up a little bit to be sure of a run? Do they not want him to go up because he'll get in and they don't want to influence his mark? So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Lark in the morning. There's a lot of very shrewd judges who think he's spectacularly well handicapped. So let's see what Lark in the morning does. Moving on to the Red Mills Trial Hurdle, a Grade 3. Holy God, Grade 3. It's no more a Grade 3 than I am. It's really, really poor. What's up, darling, will probably win it, but it's really disappointing, to be honest, which the Red Mills Hurdle, which has been a great race over the years. Some really good horses have won it. So it's disappointing to see a Red Mills Trial Hurdle like the one we have at 2:17. The Red Mills Chase is actually far more interesting. It's St. Sam again. Riviera de Telle back out again quickly after finishing second last weekend to Allegory de Vassy. They're obviously trying to get plenty of runs into her, and St. Sam is going to find it hard to give her £7, so I'd be with Riviera de Telle in that 3:27. And just one other one I want to mention, in the 4:35, it's the Carey's Cottage Cup handicap chase, 2.5 mile chase. I thought Better Times Ahead was interesting. Hasn't ran yet this season, actually, Better Times Ahead. But I thought when Better Times Ahead won at Navan around March last season, I thought he looked like a horse that was going to really kind of progress over fences. He was only six, they're giving him plenty of time. He handles bottomless ground. He's £12 higher now than the mark he won off at Navan. But Mark Walsh is up. I'd like to see market support for him. I think he'd be very hard to beat. That's Better Times Ahead in the 4:35 at Corn Park. And that's it for me, okay, from Ireland.
A few from Garan Park. It seems like there's a battle between the Red Mills and the Reynolds Down at Ascot to decide which race is better than each other. But Matt, I'll come to you, Matt. What have you got away from the action that's not in Ireland?
6:30 Newcastle, 6 furlong handicap. It's a clash between a couple of recent winning machines, Benito Cavallo and He's an Angel. I thought Benito Cavallo got a pretty nice split through when he won last time, and whereas He's an Angel, I thought, did seriously well to complete the hat trick at Lingfield. Like, 5 furlongs probably isn't his trip, and he came from miles back in a modestly run race, which, you know, isn't easy to do at Lingfield by any means. The seconds come out and won and finished second since, improving both times. You know, he's only gone up £5, and, you know, if he can't win again off £5 higher, then I'd be very surprised. So, yeah, I thought He's an Angel was properly interesting.
Okay, He's an Angel. That's in the 6:30 at Newcastle on the all-weather on Saturday. Just teasing the flats slightly. As soon as we get past Cheltenham, the Lincoln will come just like that. Right, it's nap time here on the postcast. The time for us to give our best bets of the week. And Ed, I'll start with you because you've already slightly given yours away.
Sorry. Yeah, 3:15 at Haydock. The nap selection for myself is Iron Bridge. Love the ground, bottomless ground suits, staying distance suits, 3.5 furlongs, well within his compass. Dropped £2 for coming in second in the Welsh National. I still think he's particularly well handicapped. I think he could win off higher mark. And I've always thought there's a big handicap staying chase within his compass. And I'm hoping it's going to be this Grand National trial on Saturday. Available around about 9-2. Plenty of positives for him. And I think he'll go very close.
Okay, Iron Bridge for Ed, then that's in the Grand National Trial at 3:15 at Haydock. I'm going to go to the 2:05 at Wincanton, the Kingwell Hurdle. As much as Deidre said, this horse doesn't win, but I do think Colonel Mustard's going to run a massive race. Matt's already mentioned it during the show, but I think Colonel Mustard's going to go very well. Second behind Rubo in that Scottish Champion Hurdle last year, but you've got to remember this horse is running that Punchestown Champion Hurdle. Third behind State Man and Vauban that day, and this horse, like Matt said, has been chasing, but last time this horse did this switch back to hurdles, it was almost like an immediate fix, and we saw this horse putting a big run. I don't think it's a good race, that's been mentioned already, and I think that Colonel Mustard, if winning a grade two like this, it's going to be this one here. So yeah, Colonel Mustard for me in the 2:05 at Wincanton. David Jennings, your nap?
I'm playing it very safe. It's a tap in from 3 yards. I'm gonna hopefully just bundle it over the line. Apple away for me in the Reynolds Town at 1:50 at Ascot. I just think she's a class above those. She's already a grade one winner, and I'm hoping she can be a grade two winner over fences. Apple away, 1:50 Ascot. I think she's really solid.
Okay, 1:50 Ascot, Apple away for David James. And Matt Gardner, your nap, please.
3 o'clock at Ascot, Victorino. Get Venetia Williams back on track just before the Lompreso race.
Okay, there we go. So there are your naps. They're on screen now. You can get these boosted at the time of upload. These will be boosted with Unibet. So go to unibet.co.uk and you can get all of our naps boosted for the weekend. Quickly, I can go through again what's everyone up to this weekend. I will start off with Matt. What are the plans this weekend for you, Matt?
I don't know, mate. I've not got that far yet. I might get to the football. York City are in a relegation clash on Saturday. So I went the other night and it was absolutely woeful. But I might give them another go on Saturday.
Oh, well, that sounds just as exciting as the Reddlestown Novice Chase at Ascot. David Jennings, what are you up to this weekend?
We're out Saturday night. Myself and Aoife are... we didn't go out Valentine's night.
Oh, you didn't?
No, we timed our run. Hopefully we timed this... bit better than Paul Carvey and Archibald in the Champion Hurdle. We timed our run. We said it's going to be a little bit quieter on Saturday night, so we're going to go out for a bite to eat and a few drinks. Haven't been out in ages. Nana and Grand are babysitting. Happy days. So that's Saturday evening, and then I'm working Sunday, so kind of a sore head potentially Sunday morning.
Well, wishing you all the best and wishing you have a lovely dinner on Saturday evening. And Ed Nicholson, where are you this weekend?
Well, first of all, typical DJ taking the value there, getting the value mill.
Yeah. On a four places, what are the odds?
I actually haven't got anything planned at the moment. If any of you want to come for a beer, I'm more than happy. I might go to Ascot because it's near to where I live. But yeah, nothing planned at the moment. What about yourself, Sam?
Do you know what? This week, what I'm doing, I'm working on Saturday morning and then I think I'm going to relax. I'm trying to get as much time to relax in ahead of the Cheltenham Festival because we know, I think all of us know in racing, how busy it gets in the weeks leading up to it. So the more time you can get resting, the better. So I'll probably sit down, watch the racing and chill out with my dad on the sofa this weekend. So that will be my plans. Well, hopefully I will see all of you. I'll see Matt and DJ before the Cheltenham Festival, but really looking forward to that coming up. Ed Nicholson will probably give details next week on a competition that we're going to run for some tickets for a Unibet for the Cheltenham Festival. So make sure you do tune in next week. We'll probably be able to share details on that. And we'll be previewing the action next Thursday at 7 p.m. as always. So thanks for watching and we'll see you soon.